Well, I told Kathy tonight, I said, you know, I haven't preached in 2 weeks. And I said, I think this is the longest I haven't preached since probably 2000. So we're going to see tonight if I can, if I need to find another profession, I guess. Hey, where'd Dustin go? Hey, Dustin, come back in here for just a minute. Just real quick, and I'm not going to keep you, but just a minute. I wanted to ask you something in front of everybody on camera. This is real easy. I'm not going to embarrass him, but this goes along with what I want to talk about tonight. So you're welcome. So this is a real simple question, but you're an expert in this, and you're the guy that would give me the right answer. So I wanted to ask you, if I wanted to build a brand new house, brand new, and I came to you and said, I want you to build this house with all hammers and 16-penny nails, and I want everything to be done the way my grandfather would have done it. I want saws. I don't want any power tools out there. I want saws. I want hammers. I want nails. That's how I want to build it. What would you say?
Oh, you got the money.
Ah. So you would build it with hammer and nails, as long as I had the money.
Pay for the extra time.
But you don't build them like that anymore, right? Why not?
It's not cost efficient.
Not cost efficient? Is a nail gun a little bit easier to handle than a hammer?
Yes.
Would you rather cut things with a power saw than a handsaw?
Yes.
So, even though back then it was great, do you think the houses built 50 years ago are better than the houses built today because they were built with nails and hammers and saws?
No.
Think the houses today are built stronger?
According to who built it.
I'm asking you. You're building it.
Oh, yeah.
You're? Yeah. Okay, yeah. That's all I need to know. All right, give him a hand, would you? So, now that I've embarrassed him, didn't mean to, but he had the right answers. Open your Bible with me tonight, if you would, to the book of Hosea. Now, Hosea is the first of the minor prophets. He wrote a book. He actually composed it over about a 60-year period. He was the prophet in Israel, while Isaiah was the prophet in Judah. So he's called a minor prophet, but he was originally a major prophet. Prophesied for a long time. We're going to Hosea chapter 7. And if you would stand with me tonight as we read God's word in honor of this word. We talk a little bit about Hosea tonight. He says in chapter 7, when I would have healed Israel, then the iniquity of Ephraim was discovered, and the wickedness of Samaria, for they commit falsehood. And the thief cometh in, and the troops of robbers spoileth without. And they consider not in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own doings have beset them about. They are before my face. They make their king glad with their wickedness, and the princes with all their lies, or with their lies. They are all adulterers, as an oven heated by the baker, who ceases from raising after he has kneaded the dough until it be leavened. In the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. He stretched out his hand with scorners, for they have made ready their hearts like an oven while they lie in wait. Their baker sleepeth all night. In the morning it burns as a flaming fire. They are all hot as an oven and have devoured their judges. All of their kings are fallen. There is none among them that calleth unto me. Ephraim, he hath mixed himself among the people. Ephraim is a cake not turned. Heavenly Father, God, I lay myself before you tonight, God, and thank you for this opportunity to share your word, Father. And I pray for the next few minutes, oh God, that your anointing, Father, would lead me and guide me, Father God, that I would speak under the authority of the power of the anointing of God. Lord, touch this people and touch our hearts tonight, God. Move us forward in you in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I know there's not as many of us here tonight as normal, but I want to just tell you with what I think the Lord's going to have me speak to you about tonight, I think this is the perfect size. I talked to Dustin tonight because I wanted to talk about something. You know, whenever Kathy and I, we just celebrated our 45th wedding anniversary. And when Kathy and I was dating, so I'll let you figure out how many years ago that was, half a century ago when we were dating, our favorite Mexican food place to go to in Beaumont was the Monterey House, because it was about the only Mexican food place in Beaumont. The Monterey House had two locations, and we used to go almost, not every week, but a lot of times we would go to the Monterey House and we would eat Mexican food. How many of y'all have been to the Monterey House in the last 2 years? How many of you know that there is a Monterey House in Beaumont? It's still in the same place it was half a century ago. And when you go in there, except for the fact that half a century ago they had little praline candies underneath the chips, that's one of the things they have. They don't have that anymore. But other than that, if you looked at their menu and you looked at what they're serving and you looked at how they did their business and you looked inside the building, you would think that you were 50 years back, because nothing basically has changed except that there's not very many people in there anymore, that there's a lot of other Mexican food places to eat now in Beaumont and in the surrounding areas, and they've become basically irrelevant except to a small group of people that still patronize them, and every now and then we'll go down there and we'll eat, but they let themselves get irrelevant. And my point tonight is, talking to Dustin, is, you know, back 50 years ago, I used to help my dad as a kid, longer than that ago, and we would do electrical work, and we did everything with hammers and nails, and the builders up there, they used hammers and nails, and they had power saws, but the point is that he doesn't build houses like that anymore, because if he did, he wouldn't stay in business. He can't build something like that anymore, because technology's come forward and devices have come forward and methods have come forward and engineering has come forward and building houses and building structures, just like making Mexican food, just like a menu, just like anything. It evolves. It has to constantly churn and turn and do different things. And if you talk to anybody in here that's in any kind of profession, if you talk to Kenneth, if you talk to Jim, if you talk to Fred, if you talk to just about anybody in here that's worked for a long period of time, Mike, they'll tell you, Tammy, they'll tell you that their profession has changed over the last 25 years. Tammy doesn't do floral work like she did maybe 20 years ago. There's different flowers. There's different things people want. They want stuff cut differently. They want it put in different kind of stuff. You know, I recently ordered my granddaughter a Valentine's bouquet, and I didn't want it put in a vase like they put it in every year. I said, I want a little bucket, and I want a lot of candy and Skittles and Baby Ruths and all kind of little candy there, and somehow fit some flowers in there. You know, if she would have said, well, I'm sorry, I can't do that, because that's just not what I would do, I'd say, thank you very much. And I'd call the next one. Why? Because my tastes change, right? Society changes. Technology changes. People come in with new stuff. And if you stay where you were 50 years ago, you're going to find yourself in a rut. You're going to find yourself in a place where you're still relevant, but you're not moving forward with the rest of society. You're not moving forward with the rest of the community. And you're eventually going to find yourself as being on the verge of becoming obsolete. This particular passage talks about the nation of Israel. And he calls them and he says, they are all adulterers, verse 4, as an oven heated by the baker who ceases from raising after he's kneaded the dough until it be leavened. What's he talking about there? He's talking about that they started out good. They had a nice lump of dough. It was something that was going to make a nice cake. It was going to be really, really nice. God had brought them into a land. They had this great future. They had everything planned. God said, I'm going to put you in a land that makes milk, has milk and honey. It's all going to be good. You're going to own this land. You're going to be a conqueror. You're going to be a king. You're going to be the head and not the tail. You're going to be from above and not beneath. You're going to be blessed in the basket, in the store. All of these things are going to work. It's all going to be great. It's all going to be lovely. And one of these days, there won't be any poor people there anymore, because everybody will sit underneath their own vine and sit underneath their own tree, and they will enjoy the blessings of the Lord. And I want to ask you, at this particular time in the book of Hosea, is that what we see? It is not. You see, because they had forgotten who their king was. In verse 5 it says, in the day of our king. Who was the king? The king was not, what was his name? Jeroboam. It was not Jeroboam, although he was the king. It wasn't Joash who followed Jeroboam. He was the king of Israel, but he was not the king they were supposed to be looking to. It wasn't Zechariah. It wasn't Menahem. It wasn't Shalom. It wasn't Pekah. It wasn't Pekiah. It wasn't Hosea. Those weren't the kings that they were supposed to be looking to. Their king had always been and was always supposed to be the Lord their God. He was supposed to be the one who was their king. He was supposed to be the one who was their leader. He was supposed to be the one who was the authority. They were supposed to be following him and adoring him and loving him and allowing him to be their God and be their king. But instead, they had let their nice lump of dough become leavened. They left it in the oven until it became bad. They left it in the oven until it became full of sin. They left it in the oven until they no longer was concerned. As long as they preached the right thing, and as long as they took the right offering, and as long as everything went to where it complimented the people, then everything was fine in their eyes. But God said, you're a lump of dough, hallelujah, who stayed in the oven too long until you become full of sin. Glory to God. You see, God's got you here tonight because some of us, it's time that we turn a new leaf. Some of us need our lump of dough turned over. He said over here where does he say? There is a cake not turned. There's a cake not turned because we've forgotten who the king was. We've forgotten who saved us. We forgot who filled us. Reed's song tonight talked about it, that the cross did away with all the things of the world, and we've forgotten who the king is. We've started thinking other things because, you see, we got a lot of princes. Here's what he said. He said, in the day of our king, the princes have made him sick with bottles of wine. Because what we've done sometimes is we have other things that creep in. You know, a guy told me one time, if Satan can't make you fall, he'll make you busy. If Satan can't cause you to fall, he'll just make you busy. Why? Because there's lots of princes that are talking to you. There's lots of princes, and I'm not talking about bad things. I'm not talking about alcohol and drugs and that kind. I'm talking about just things that make us busy. I'm talking about things that just take a little too much time. I'm talking about not even, you know, I'm not talking about bad things. I'm talking about good things, you know. We can get so consumed with making sure that our family, that we have family time, that sometimes we can let things go to the side that God wants us to do, but we say, well, I just can't do that because I've got to spend time with my family. It's not bad to spend time with your family, but you got to remember who the king is. You got to remember when the Lord says it's time to do this or to change your lifestyle or to do something different. I'm not saying you're doing anything wrong. I'm just saying sometimes your cake has to be turned. I'm saying sometimes you got to remember that cake's in the oven and the heat's turned on, and you as the baker have got to come every now and then and open the oven and see where we're at. You ready for me to go away again? Hallelujah. Because if you don't, you'll find yourself building a house with a hammer and nails when God said use a nail gun. You'll find yourself out there with a saw doing what you can when the Lord said get that power saw with the battery on it, because then you don't even need a cord. Do you hear what I'm saying? We went on vacation. Now, you all know that. We were gone 10 days. While we were on vacation, we met several people. But we were at one of the resort areas in Tobago. And we sat next to some people. We just kind of randomly. We came on this. Let me tell you the story. We came on this on the beach area there at Pigeon Point was the name of the place. And we came there and we gave some guy some money and he drug us some chairs. Drug them across the beach to where Kathy said she wanted them put. I want them put over there underneath that tree. So here he goes. He drags that thing over there. He sets them down. We walk over there. And when we walk over there, we were right beside some people we'd met on the boat the night before, I think. I think it was the night before. We were right beside them. And we got to talking to them, you know. And the lady went to look and find out how much a tour was for a glass bottom boat. And the guy stayed there and he said, well, what do you do for a living? And I said, I'm a pastor. He said, a preacher? I said, yes, sir, I'm a preacher. He said, I need to talk to you. I said, okay. Well, he didn't. His wife came back and they got busy. They went away. So we're the last day of the cruise. If you've ever been on a cruise, you know, you get up the last morning, you have your bags packed the night before, so you get up the next morning and all you've got is what you got on. And you go and you sit in a little area till they call your number. Our number was 14. So you sit there till they call your number, then you walk off. Well, while we're sitting there waiting for our number to be called, guess who comes and sits beside me? This gentleman comes and sits beside me. And he starts telling me, I was raised in a Pentecostal church, but I got busy working in another company, and I kind of lost out, and I've come back, and we really want to get back involved in church, but we just haven't seemed to be able to make the move. And I felt that familiar Spirit of God as he began to roll within me. And Kathy and I started talking with him. And every time we would get to a real important point, the speakers would start going off and people would start walking around us and everything. But he stayed with us. And right before our number was called, I said, can I pray with you before you go? He said, I wish you would. And I laid my hand on him. And we prayed together with him. And whenever I looked at him, the last time I looked in his eyes were filled with tears. And as God, the Holy Spirit, had touched his heart and made him a part of something. And I believe that today, I believe they went and found a church home. I believe that they went and they're reestablishing their relationship with God. I believe there was a change made in his life sitting on the safari deck of that ship that we were sitting on. And I believe that because God gave me the opportunity. He put me in the right place at the right time, and he gave me the opportunity to be able to witness to somebody while I was on vacation. And all I'm saying tonight is if you're not careful, your cake will get overheated and you'll quit looking for opportunities like that, and you won't realize them, and you'll walk by them. And when God intended for you to touch somebody's soul, instead you become more concerned with what you're doing. It's not that you're doing anything wrong, it's that you lost sight of what the king is doing because the princes are talking in your ears. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with anything anybody's doing. All I'm saying is that I feel like God is calling you tonight to tell you that there's a new place he wants to put you. He wants to turn your cake over. He wants to make it to where it's not burned on one side and full of leaven. He wants to make it to where it's a beautiful thing that God has designed for you to do, a beautiful thing for you to be a part of, a beautiful thing that he has designed that only you can do, and you may not be able to do it the way you did it 20 years ago. You may not be able to do it the way you did it 10 years ago. You may not even be able to do it the way you did it last week, but I'm telling you, your king has a method to make it work if you'll just let him, listen to him, and not get him all drugged up with princes of what they're saying, and allow the baker to come and turn that cake over and let it come up into something beautiful that God has designed for you. He says in here in verse 7 that they're all hot as an oven. All hot as an oven. And that's what happens, isn't it? Don't we find ourselves getting so busy about stuff that's important? We find ourselves getting so busy about stuff that's necessary? We find ourselves getting so busy about stuff that we feel like that we can't do without. I understand that. I understand the pull that the society has on. I understand the pull of everything that goes on around us. I know that guys and ladies and gentlemen that you work more hours than you've ever worked before. I know the pull, the demands that the government, if you're in anything involved with the government, if you're in education or any kind of thing like that, I realize that there's demands and there's pulls and there's tugs and if you're in school, there's just so much stuff going on around you and so many opportunities, and I know all that stuff's pulling on you, but I'm telling you, it's not all necessary. You don't have to be pulled and so involved in everything to where you lose sight of what the important things are. You know, Kathy and I, we could get so busy doing the stuff that we forget that we had a 45th anniversary. We could forget that we need to cherish each other. You think any man that ever had an affair, you think he ever started out saying, that's what I'm going to do? You think any woman that ever left her husband, she started out by saying, that's what I'm going to do? Y'all aren't planning to do that, are you? I mean, you're looking at me kind of funny. Didn't start out that way. But they forgot what was important. They forgot. They let that oven... They let it get hot as an oven. They let all those princes and they let all the time and they let everything pulling on them. They started thinking other things were more important than the things that were necessary. And because of that, they got pulled by society and they got so busy that oven, they didn't pay attention to the oven. They didn't pay attention to the cake that's in the oven. They didn't come back and check on it. They didn't say, oh, that's way too hot. That's going to burn it. That's going to cause it to leaven. That's not going to make a right kind of cake. They forgot about it because they got so busy. Listen to what the princess said. Listen to what the world said. Listen to what their daily life said, that they got so busy that they forgot where they were going. They forgot their direction. They forgot they were following God. They forgot those things. And because they forgot them, that oven got hotter and hotter until the dough of their life, the beauty of what God was going to make of their life, that beautiful thing got burned on one side, and then it started forming leaven and overflowing the pot and made a mess. So what am I saying tonight? I'm saying, number one, remember who the king is. Remember that the princes are going to always be telling you there's better ways to do it. I'm sure that every job Dustin does, I'm sure every job he does, somebody comes in there and says, well, if you would do this, you would do it better. Every job Fred does, somebody's going to tell him how he could do it better. Oh, if you would have done this, if you'd have used this material instead of this, you would have done it better. You know, princes are always talking. They're always telling you ways that you can, oh, if you would have done it this way, then this wouldn't have happened. If you'd have listened to me, then this would, blah, 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 blah. And all I'm telling you is there's only one to be listening to, and that's the king. You got to listen to the king. And you got to make sure that you don't allow the princess to talk so much that you can't hear what the king is saying anymore, and suddenly you start thinking you're the king. We were on another little cruise, and we went by Donald Trump's house in San Martin. Beautiful 16-bedroom little villa with a private beach. He's only been there once or twice, they tell us. I don't know. I don't personally know him, so I couldn't text him to see if that's right. But they said he'd only been there once, but they said he now rents it out for $11,000 a night. Makes more money renting it than it would if he just owned it. So that's why, you know, that's why he did it, you know. So we saw this beautiful home and nobody in it. Saw this beautiful mansion, multi-million dollar thing. Nobody's there. You see, we can work so hard on something. Work so hard on trying to build something. Work so hard about trying to do something, and only to find out that when we got it finished, we lost sight of what we were supposed to be doing. Are you with me? Are you following me? Because if we're not careful, we'll forget that there's a baker, that I'm the baker, and I need to be watching that leaven. I need to be watching that dough that's inside that oven. Because if I get confused and start listening to everything, you know, that passage talks about how the baker went to sleep. Didn't it talk about that? Let me look at it. Their baker sleeps all the night, and in the morning it burns as a flaming fire. You know, all I'm telling you tonight is, I think for maybe all of us that are in here tonight, it's not that you're doing anything wrong. It's not that God's displeased with you. It's not that you're fighting battles with stuff. It's not. I think if the Lord came down here tonight and he stood up here, I think he would look at you and tell you that you are doing a great job. I think he would tell you he was well pleased with where you're at. I think he would. I don't think God would come down here and say, you bunch of snakes and vipers, I'm fixing to rain down fire and brimstone and burn you all up. I don't think he'd say, he's well pleased with you. I think you're doing a great job. But here's the thing that I think he wants you to hear tonight. While the past for you has been great, God's got a future for you that's only going to come to pass if you look at that dough every now and then and turn the cake. If you look at the dough every now and then and turn the cake. Because God is continually moving us from glory to glory. He's continually working with us. You know, if you've ever just decided that you're happy with where you're at, that you're happy with what you're doing, that you've reached the pinnacle of your success, I will tell you that in God, there's always another step to take. You've heard my story to ad nauseum, I'm sure, about how God moved me from using notes to not using notes. Now let me tell you, I could have fought against that. I could have continued using notes. I could have. And I'm just going to tell you that I still would have been in this pulpit. Are you hearing me? I still would have been here. I would be using notes instead of the way I do it now. But I will tell you that there is a level of anointing that God has placed upon my life that has come because I was willing to let that cake be turned. There's a level of anointing. There's a level of godliness that has, and I'm not trying to build myself up. I'm just saying there's a level of things that has happened to me because I was willing to open the oven, check the temperature, hear what the king was saying, and the baker, me, turned the cake and said, I'm willing to do what you've given me to do. When I was on the cruise ship and this situation occurred, I could have brushed it off, and I have done it before. I have failed the Lord in this before. But because I failed him before, my prayer now is, God, don't let me miss an opportunity. But if the princes of what's important and what's going on around me get to talking too loud, then my desire to do the desires of the king suddenly becomes the desires that I want to have, and I can walk by opportunities that God has given me to minister, to touch, to heal, to pray, to do whatever it is that God's given me to do, and I can let my cake get too hot and let it burn and let it leaven by not keeping an eye on the temperature of the oven. And all I'm saying tonight to you is this. I don't think there's anybody in here that God is not pleased with. But I will tell you this. I think you are going to come into an area, either that or I'm not right tonight, one of the two. You're fixing to come into a place where God is going to challenge you to go and open the oven. Not to listen to what the princes are saying. Not to let them lull you to sleep, but to open the oven and to look at the cake of your life. And not that you're doing anything wrong, not that there's anything bad, but all I'm saying tonight is that God is looking at you tonight and saying, it's time to turn the cake. It's time to pay attention to the temperature of the oven. Not because what you're doing is wrong, not because you're not going to heaven, not because you're struggling with anything, not for those reasons at all. Just the opposite. Just the opposite. He wants to turn that cake so that he can make you into the beautiful fixture he desires for you to be. You know, Tammy, she's making a floral piece. And if she continually makes them the same way all the time, using the same flowers and the same foliage and all that stuff, it gets to where her creations are stale. But because she changes things and because she keeps up with the newest things that are coming out, if she's doing that, and I think she is, then her stuff stays fresh. And it's the same thing with your relationship with God. We can allow ourselves to get so comfortable sitting in the same seat. And I'm glad you do, because that's how I keep up with who's here. I'm glad you do. But we can get comfortable sitting in the same seat, coming to church, doing the same things, hearing the same people. You know, I'm trying to find a place to quit, but I keep, Lord, we can get so comfortable letting other people come down here and doing all the praying and us standing back there and enjoying it, enjoying the service this morning. Did you enjoy the service this morning? You did, didn't you? The presence of God was great. It was wonderful. I enjoyed listening to it. It was a wonderful service. But you can get so comfortable in just enjoying the service that you forget that the King is speaking in your ear, telling you it's time for you to be a minister. It's time for you to leave your seat and come down here and begin to start praying. It's time for you, worshipers. It's time for you, and I'm not talking about the people that sing up here. I'm talking about us. It's time for you to leave your seat and come and stand up here across the front and worship in a different spot. It's time for us maybe to do something different, to not stay comfortable in what we're doing and let the oven get so hot that we forget about the dough that's inside of there, that's our life, our destiny, what God has ordained for us. And even though we're enjoying it, and even though it's wonderful, and even though it's pleasant, and even though we're comfortable in it, every now and then, God wants you to move forward into a place you're maybe not so comfortable in. It's time to go back and check the heat on the oven to see how the dough is doing. And if we forget to do that, then we won't move into the destiny. We won't move into the spot. We won't move into the place that God has ordained for us to go. Why? Because we're so used to the oven and used to the dough, and we're not hearing the King so much anymore, and we're not checking. And so we get comfortable just going on vacation and having a good time and enjoying the blessings of the Lord when the Lord is saying, I'm blessing you, that's right, but I've got a man I need you to talk to while you're there. I've got a situation I need you to pray for while you're there. I got something that's going on, you know, while you're there. And if we're not careful, we start to lose that ear. We start to get a little bit lethargic with it. It starts being so comfortable that Dustin doesn't keep up with the latest things that are going on. He doesn't keep up with the the battery, all the different battery-operated tools that are happening. He doesn't keep up with the better ways to pour the concrete. Doesn't keep up with all the good stuff that people are doing and the new materials that are coming out for cabinet tops and the new ways to build cabinet doors and all that. He doesn't keep up with that. Why? Because he's been building them the same way for all these years, and he's doing fine, and he's keeping enough jobs, and everything's going well, and other people are doing it, but they're having a hard time with it because they're learning new things, and he just doesn't want to fool with that, so he just keeps doing it the same way he's always doing it. And 15 years from now, what does he find out? Nobody's doing it that way anymore. And now he's way too high, and he can't get work because he can't do the latest in the stuff. Does that make sense? What happened? He forgot to check the temperature of the oven. He didn't look at the destiny of what he was doing. He kind of went to sleep with it. He quit listening to the king because the princes were saying, "You're making plenty of money. Why are you worried about this stuff? This is just a fad. It'll all go away. Nobody else can do it this way. You're a great builder. You've done it this way for years. You're always work. You've got plenty of work. You've got plenty of money. Your family's taken care of. Everything's great." And it is. But is it still going to be great 10 years from now? 5 years from now? Next week? Next month? All the Lord's saying tonight is, open the door. You know, Zach's up there, and there's Cyrus, and I saw that where Sam and Hollifield, what's his name? Hunter. Saw, you know, all these awards they're getting, Lodging, playing baseball, and everything that's going on. I see all that, you know, and I see what they're doing. And you know what? Jana, I didn't forget you, Jana, going in the military. But you know what? You may have your future all planned out. You may know you want to go to be an engineer. You may know you want to go to be in the military. You may know you want to play baseball or play football or you may know all that. You may say, you know what, this is what I want to do. If you were dating somebody steady, you might say, well, this is who I want to marry. You know, this is what I'm going to do with my life. This is how it's going to turn out. I've got it all planned out. It's all working out good. But I'm going to tell you something. What if you were to check the oven and the Lord would say, why don't you give a year of your life in the mission field? Why don't you give some time in this field? Why don't you check who you're dating to see if he or she's going to be compatible with what I'm calling you to do in the next 5 years. Because I'm going to tell you, if you marry the wrong guy or you marry the wrong girl, you're going to have a hard time doing what God's called you to do. If you don't have the somebody, the only reason I can do the things that I'm doing is because my wife's in agreement. We're working together. We're as one. If every time I said, hey, let's go do this, she says, I'm going to stay home and eat bonbons and watch the movies. And I know pastors that happen to. They out there fighting the fight by themselves because their wife didn't want to be a pastor's wife anyway. So I'm just telling you, maybe tonight we should take just a moment. And as the baker, listen to a king who's helping us get the right mixture inside of that oven. Just look at it. See what it's doing. See how it's going. See if it's going the right direction. Or see if we've let it get too hot and we need to dial back some stuff. Get everything a little bit more in balance. Maybe we've got some things that are out of control and we need to pull it back just a little bit. I'm not talking about big changes here. I'm talking about little stuff. Turn the cake over. See how it's doing. Check it. Because I'm telling you tonight that God is going to move on some of your hearts in the next, I don't know what period of time, to maybe do something different than the way you've always done it. He may call on some of you to start coming down here and being prayer warriors around these altars. He may call on some of you to start being used in the gifts of the Spirit, in healings and deliverances in prayers of faith, in gifts of governments, in the different gifts of the Spirit. He may call some of you to be pastors from another church. I won't let you go, but he might. I'm just saying that tonight what the Lord is speaking is for us to open the oven door, take a little time, check the oven temperature, look at the dough. Is where I'm going where God lead is God, where God leading me? Is this making sense tonight? Is it because I feel like I'm going all over the place here. I feel like I'm saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over. So I just want to make sure that you understand what I'm saying. Stand with me tonight. I just need to quit. I just need to stop. The final thing here, and I know I say I'm stopping, and I am, but the final thing is, it says the people, Ephraim, is a cake not turned. Ephraim, when God is complimenting that particular nation, he calls them Israel. When they're acting in the flesh, he calls them Ephraim or Jacob. So in this last piece here, he says, Ephraim, the people who have ceased listening to the king, that have become only listening to princes, who have gone to sleep, who is not watching the dough, those people have become a cake, not turned. Not turned. And I'm not saying you're going to backslide and go to hell. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that God will continue to use you. You will continue to be used of the Lord. You will continue in what you're doing. But you're not going to advance to the place where God has ordained for you. Is that right? That's the whole purpose of tonight, right? You're not going to move to where God to be where God wants you, to be where God ordained you, to be where God has anointed you for. It's not that you'll backslide. It's not that you're not right. But it's just God has a higher purpose, a higher calling, a higher direction, a higher blessing. And tonight, I want to spend just a moment, if you would like to, and if this isn't for you tonight, then that's fine. You know, I realize it's. But I want to spend just a minute here tonight, where if you feel like if God has quickened your heart tonight, and you say, you know what, I become so comfortable and so just good with how everything's going, and maybe I do need to check that oven. Maybe some things around me have started, you know, it's not that I'm doing anything bad, but maybe some things are taking my time that I need to move away from. Maybe some decisions I'm about to make, I need to spend a little, instead of just saying, okay, this is what I'm going to do. Maybe tonight I need to open the oven and say, is this really what I need to do? Not that what you're planning on doing is bad. But that's all I'm saying tonight is we're just checking the oven tonight. We're just seeing what the temperature is. We're looking at the dough to see if it needs to be turned, to see if it needs to be moved, to see if the oven needs to be adjusted. Because we don't want to lose sight of the king. So instead of continuing to say the same analogy over and over, if you feel that way tonight, then I simply want you to head down here tonight and just say, God, Lord, what is the temperature of the oven? What does the dough look like? Am I become comfortable and not progressing? Am I not listening? You know, if that's you tonight, make your way down. Because there's some ministry, you know, I've noticed, and I noticed it this morning too, that Mike and Gina have made a move by allowing themselves to be considered staff up here. They've taken on some responsibilities, and I've noticed in the last couple of weeks that Mike's method of leading worship has changed. I don't know if you've noticed it this morning, but this morning I heard him several times say, God, you know, shake us, God, move us. I heard him several times, and not that he hasn't done it in the past, but he's doing it now with authority. And why is that? That's because they've turned that cake. They've made a change. They've made a move. And now the Holy Spirit, the other side is starting to kind of brown up now. It's starting to come together better. Anybody else tonight? I need to make a move. I need to make a change. I need to do something different because I'm just not feeling the same things that I felt in the past. Anybody else tonight? Just need to do something a little bit different. Not that what you're doing is bad. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Veronica, could I get you to come and play for just a moment? If you want to come down here and pray with somebody, just come down here and lay your hand on them. And just guys with guys and girls with girls, you know the drill. If you want to come down here and just pray with somebody, then I want you to make your way down. I'm going to go down this row here. I'm just going to anoint them with oil. And we're just going to pray and ask the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're in the audience, just lift your hands this way. Heavenly Father, glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for a new anointing. Thank you, Lord God, for a new touch. Thank you, Lord God, for a new direction, God. Oh, Lord God, hallelujah. When the children of Israel, Lord God, when they left the land, Lord, the first thing you did, Lord, was turn off the manna. And they had to begin to eat different things, Lord God. Father God, I pray, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. Story isn't over, the story just begun. And fear you want to find me, 'cause that's what my father does. And fear you want to find me, 'cause that's what my father does. Ooh, you're in the Father's house. Ooh, you're in the Father's house. Check your shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house. Sometimes on this journey, I get lost in my mistakes. What looks to me like weakness is a canvas for your strength. My story isn't over, it's a story just begun. And failure won't define me, 'cause that's what my father does. No, failure won't define me, that's what my father does. Ooh, you're in the Father's house. Ooh, lay your burden down, check your shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore. Ooh, you're in the Father's house. Arrival's not the end game, the journey's where you are. You never want it perfect, you just want in my heart. And the story isn't over, the story isn't good. And failure's never final when the Father's in the room. No, failure's never final when the Father's in the room. Ooh, lay your burden down. Ooh, you're in the Father's house. Check your shame at the door, 'cause it ain't welcome anymore.
Like I told you in closing tonight, I just want to say that you were here tonight for a very special purpose. I believe that God is going to change some directions. It's God's, once again, not that your direction's bad, but I believe God's deepening some things, changing some things, challenging some things. And I think in the next few weeks, you're going to experience that. You're going to experience that step that needs to be made to deepen your relationship with God and to cause you to be the very thing that He desired, the very perfect cake that He desired you to be. So, there you go. Stand with me tonight, if you would. Heavenly Father, thank you, Almighty God, for your love and your direction and your mercy, Father. And I pray in Jesus' name, Almighty God, that your word, Father God, would not return void, God. Hallelujah.
but it would burn and work within our souls, O God. Lord, to look upon ourselves, O God, and to look upon what you're doing in our lives, O God, and to move us, O God, to that place where you desire us to be, O God. For you have set apart, Lord God, those in this congregation, Father. You have moved them, Lord God. You have set them apart, O God. You have caused them, O God, to be in this place, in this season, at this time, O God, to achieve a certain purpose, O God, that you have ordained. And all I pray tonight, O God, is that we wouldn't miss your purpose, Father. Thank you, Lord God, for your great work, Father. Bless this people. Anoint them, O God. Empower them, Lord God. Let your Holy Spirit, Lord, lead them and guide them each and every step of the way. We pray and ask these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Have a good week. We'll see you Tuesday morning. If you can make prayer meeting, we'll see you Tuesday. If not, we'll see you Wednesday night. God bless.